Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Today on the broadcast, I will share with you an interview that I did with Paul Blair. Paul was a former NFL football player with the Chicago Bears, and he is an expert on the Pilgrims who landed at Plymouth, Massachusetts in 1620. They came with a biblical approach to human government that ultimately became the foundation for the United States of America. We're going to show you how we set the foundation to answer the question, is the United States in Bible prophecy? That's coming up right after I tell you about my website, prophecytoday.com. That's the location you need to go to stay abreast of all current events that are happening in our world. At prophecytoday.com, we look at these current events in light of biblical prophecy. May I suggest you bookmark our website, prophecytoday.com. We're doing a production, a DVD documentary, entitled The United States in Bible Prophecy. And in this production, we're going to ask two questions. Is the United States in Bible prophecy? Or the other question, has and will God use the United States to set the stage for ultimately Bible prophecy to be fulfilled? We thought it would be great to bring Paul Blair in. Paul, a former NFL football player playing for the Chicago Bears, he's now pastor of a church in Edmond, Oklahoma, and he's an expert on the Plymouth Plantation. We're so grateful for what you've brought to the table as it relates to our project on Is the United States of America in Bible Prophecy? But in Plymouth, Massachusetts, I do believe, and many historians have said, this is the location for the creation of the United States of America. Let me ask you, why is that the case?
Well, the unique form of government that was established here is why this place was truly the birthplace of constitutional government that we have adhered to here in the United States. You know, the Pilgrims left England late because of some travel difficulties. One of their ships had sprung a leak. They originally were planning on coming in two ships. They had to go back to Plymouth, England, and start over again. They wound up sailing across the North Atlantic at a very dangerous time during the winter months, and they were blown off course. They were aiming for the Hudson River, and they wound up landing up here at Cape Cod. And one of the issues that presented was that their charter was not in effect. So they were basically in a form of anarchy. There was no governing authority over them. They were families free to do what they wanted to do. And of course, they recognized that their only chance of survival was if they stuck together here in the New World. And for the first time in history, now there had been covenants drawn before between kings and subjects. For example, the Magna Carta between the lords in England and the king of England. But there had never before been a document where a body of equal men, recognizing that none of them had the right to rule over another, came together and constituted a governing authority, delegated few powers to that governing authority which they created, and then pledged to be governed by that rule of law. So the very first constitution for civil government was created on November the 11th on the deck of the Mayflower, and it was called the Mayflower Compact.
And that Mayflower Compact actually set the stage for these people, the Pilgrims, to arrive here in Plymouth and move forward with their experiment in a way the Lord had set in place of biblical government. Now, talk just briefly about the fact that God had miraculously set this place aside for the Pilgrims.
You know, they got here in the middle of winter, and after they just spent 66 days on a ship being, you know, tossed to and fro, and bodies were weakened, and of course there were no docks, so as they got out of the small boats and waded ashore, they caught colds and became sick. And over the course of that first winter, 47 of the 102 wound up dying. If it hadn't been for an English-speaking Indian that liked white people, happened to just wander into their camp in the middle of March in 1621, they wouldn't have survived after that time. So there is no doubting God's miraculous hand of providence in guiding the Pilgrims here, selecting this spot of land, and then bringing Squanto to their aid when they most needed it.
Well, that was 1620. 10 years later, the Puritans came over. They went into Boston. The Puritans were going to try to establish human government according to biblical principle, but they needed some help from the Pilgrims.
Right. Well, the Puritans were a group that recognized that a lot of things in the Church of England were wrong, so they had in their nature this idea of top-down government. And it was the Pilgrims themselves that came up with the original idea of course, from the Bible, where they constituted a church government, and then they, as church members, elected a pastor to be their chief shepherd and lead the flock. Well, Dr. Fuller, who was a Pilgrim, wound up going up and spending time in Boston with the Puritans when there had been a sickness there. And he was able to have tremendous influence on them and the way that they looked at civil government, literally steered them in the direction that we now appreciate and adhere to. In fact, one of those Puritans was a man named Thomas Hooker that eventually was known as one of the fathers of the Constitution that wound up going down and settling Connecticut. There were some 20,000 Puritans that wound up migrating to the New World and settling in Salem and Cambridge and Charleston and Boston. So the impact that the Pilgrims and their form of church government and form of civil government influenced not only the local community churches that were here throughout New England, but also the form of government that spread throughout New England, ultimately was the form of government that we adopted in 1776 when we declared our independence and then, of course, established the United States Constitution.
You know, in that Boston area, there's a location of one of the universities well known around the world called Harvard University. Actually, a part of the founding of Harvard was under the direction of a man. In fact, he contributed the land where the university is today, named John Harvard, and of course, the university named by him. And this was, again, preacher men stepping out to establish a higher learning institution to teach preacher men, future preacher men, how to preach. And unbelievable insignia on the gate as we enter into Harvard. Tell us about that.
Well, it's ironic how godless the major institutions of higher learning in America have become. But as you just mentioned, Jimmy, you know, Harvard was the very first college here in America and was primarily established as a preacher's college, so that as the first generation died off, they would have a learned clergy to be able to preach the Bible to future generations. But on the insignia that hangs there at one of the main gates, we visited Johnston Gate the other day. The logo for Harvard now that we recognize has the word Veritas on a shield. And that's all that they talk about now. It's truth in Latin. But in the original logo, you have three words. You have Veritas, then you have Christos, and you have Ecclesia. So you have truth in Christ and his church. That was the foundation of Harvard. That was the foundation of the success of the country that we are still enjoying the fruits of their labor. Yet now we have become so intellectual that we are denying Christ, we are denying the redemption of the blood of the Lamb, we are denying the importance and effectiveness of the church, and we are claiming to lay hold of truth without recognizing who the truth is.
And who, when we study about him, gives us that truth. That was 1636. Now, everything's going pretty well, but not quite as good as it could, and so we move into the early 1700s. And by that time, the residents of this area need an awakening, a biblical awakening that brings about the Great Awakening.
You know, man's nature never changes. We, throughout time, when times are tough, we will get on our knees, we'll repent of our sins, and we'll beg God to intervene. But as soon as things get pretty good, we tell God to leave us alone, we can handle it on our own, and then we make a mess out of things again. Well, that's really how the foundation of America was. By 1662, oddly enough, the congregational churches began to compromise because they wanted to keep their kids involved in church. And they actually passed a covenant called the Halfway Covenant, where you could be a church member or a half-church member without making a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Well, that's crazy. You can't be a part of the church unless you're Christian first. But they were compromising, trying to stay a part of the lives of the youngsters. And of course, as they compromised the gospel, you had a country or a Massachusetts was full of lost church members. And of course, that set the stage for the Great Awakening. What began, ironically, in the very same church that was led by Solomon Stoddard, who pushed for the halfway covenant. One of his descendants, Jonathan Edwards, wound up preaching there in 1729 and began preaching messages like sinners in the hands of an angry God. And the country began to light on fire. And then shortly thereafter, this young, dynamic evangelist named George Whitefield came to America from England and literally captivated the country. You know, as we talked about the other day, he was one of the first American celebrities. And he just greatly affected the entire country with this message that you must be born again.
And that fact was probably the motivating aspect of the lives of these people living in the New England area, in particular in Boston and Plymouth, to be free from Europe itself, from Great Britain. And so because of the motivation from biblical principles, they pull away, the Revolutionary War begins.
Well, it was those pastors from the Great Awakening, their descendants understood. And here's another ironic statement. You know, we have been told we're never supposed to talk about politics in church. And the reality is that God, as you've mentioned many times, is the one who established civil government. So the founders believed that the pastors were supposed to be experts on principles of government. Since God created civil government, since pastors are supposed to be experts on the Bible, then you would look to the pastors for what God's design and will was for civil government. And the pastors were who taught the colonists governing. So it was the pastors that history refers to as the Black-Robed Regiment, which is a derogatory term that the British laid on them. But what it referenced was these pastors in their black clerical robes that would ascend to their pulpits every Sunday and inflame the people's hearts toward liberty. It was these men that trained the people, and not only trained the people, but they didn't just talk about liberty, but they were willing to fight and defend it. And many of these pastors actually served side by side with their parishioners in the fight for independence.
And they were the ones responsible for letting America declare its independence. That happened in, of course, 1776, July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. George Washington was the military leader of this revolutionary battle, ultimately later to become President of the United States. But that Declaration of Independence was just a testimony from the people of America saying to the rest of the world, we're going to be a free people under biblical principle.
Well, they felt not only was it important to declare to Great Britain that they were seceding from British tyranny, but they also wanted to teach the rest of the world and show the rest of the world why they were justified in doing what they were doing. Our founders did not believe that they were themselves rebels. They believed that King George III and Parliament had rebelled against the proper role of limited civil government and had violated the colonial charters. They had appealed time and again. As a matter of fact, the First and Second Continental Congresses, they didn't declare independence. They appealed to Great Britain to stop imposing acts of tyranny illegally over the colonies. Of course, Great Britain would have nothing to do with it. And finally, as Jefferson said, it came to a point when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for a people to dissolve the political bands which have joined them to another and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature's God entitle them. They declared that it was God that gave them the justification for doing what they were doing because of the tyrannical, improper acts of the King of England.
Of course, after the Revolutionary War, George Washington, that military leader during the war, was elected as the first president of the United States. We're off and running with the United States of America. And our production, this documentary, is the United States and Bible prophecy one of the questions, or will God use the United States to set the stage for his prophetic plan to unfold? That's our project. We're going to give you advance warning when you can get a copy of it. Should be ready sometime in December. But Paul, I've got to thank you so much. We had to have that biblical basis to understand America's part in Bible prophecy. You're an expert on it. Thank you for coming out from Oklahoma to be with us on the project.
Jimmy, it's been my honor and pleasure to work with you.
And that interview with Paul Blair helping you to understand how we are beginning a production to answer the question, is the United States in Bible prophecy? It is the most asked question in any prophecy Q&A, and may I suggest it would be good for you to have an answer. We are preparing a DVD documentary to answer that question. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.